So I'm on a green zone sitting next to Alexandra Clark. Alexandra Clark is a sustainable food campaigner, and she has come here to talk about the methane emissions that the meat industry are responsible for. She is going to make a conference with other fellow colleagues that are addressing this issue tomorrow. We can attend it. Anthropocene Radio is not able to attend this conference because we don't have any accreditation, but she was very kind to give us an interview. Hello, Alexandra, how are you?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. So you are also part of an organization, Human Society is called. Can you tell us more about your objective in here in the COP21 in Paris?
We're here at the COP21 to talk about, to address meat consumption and mm-hmm. reducing meat consumption, because it's not demand. Demand-side options are not being addressed in the negotiations, such as moving diets to more plant-based options.
Okay.
And because animal agriculture is responsible for 14.5% of greenhouse gas emissions globally, we think it's very important that diets are addressed.
Mm-hmm. You told me that this issue is not part of the negotiations of the United Nations, but your goal is that it's going to be, hopefully, maybe in 2018, you told me. What is the objective of your organization?
But the objective is, one, to be here and to be visible, to highlight the issue of meat consumption and the environmental impacts that overconsumption of meat has. But we also want to look at the all countries now have to submit intended nationally determined contributions, which is like a climate change action plan. And so far, as far as I know, but you can check this, but certainly the EU has not included diets or animal agriculture in their climate change plan. So because the INDCs are new, we need to look at how this process is going to work and whether there will be a midterm review, maybe in 2018, and whether we can lobby to have diets included in the national climate change plan, because as yet it seems that this area is not being addressed nationally or at the negotiating tables.
Mm-hmm. According to scientific investigations, methane is 3 more times responsible for global warming than CO2. This has not been taken in consideration in terms of negotiating or maybe trying to solve the gas emissions. Why do you think is that?
It's true that about, as you say, about methane, but it's actually not just methane when we talk about greenhouse gas emissions from the animal agriculture industry. It's the whole production chain. Mm-hmm. So this produces a lot of carbon dioxide emissions and other dangerous climate change, global warming gases as well. It's interesting, and I think we can all come to our own conclusions, but the animal agricultural sector is the second biggest greenhouse gas producer below industry, and it isn't, it's true, it's not being addressed as it should be. The animal agricultural industry and the lobby are very strong. Governments are very reticent to act, particularly when you talk about diets. A lot of governments are hesitant to act because they don't want to be accused of nanny state, of being a nanny state and interfering in people's personal choices. So this can be a problem, but it's a very powerful industry, and when you have NGOs and a lot of scientists now as well who are saying this sector needs to be dealt with, it's one of the most damaging to our environment, it's still very difficult to counter the message coming from big business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a lot of funds to put into their campaigning of consumption and consume more, and we're trying to say consume less, and there's a big disparity between the amount of even the funds and mm-hmm. that we can get our message across as loudly as animal industry, and this is with the public and with government.
The World Health Organization recently, maybe 1 month ago, considered meat as dangerous as tobacco. She is a cause of cancer, and this has been like a huge scandal. A lot of people have reacted, of course, the meat industry have reacted and have complained about this report. Do you think that this is going to make the difference for countries and for governments to maybe start to change their policy on meat consumption in institutions, in schools, in diets, as you were saying?
I think it has to be a joined up approach. I work in Brussels and we work closely with the European Commission. So when you talk about health and the WHO recent classification as red meat as, processed meat as a carcinogen and red meat as a probable carcinogen, this has been known by scientists for a long time, so that information has been out there for a long time, but for a quite conservative organisation like the WHO to produce a report and classify red meat, then it of course created a bit of a stir and a lot of media. But there needs to be a joined up approach between health, agriculture and environment. We can't deal with any of these issues singularly, and a lot of governments will have a Ministry of Agriculture, a Ministry of Health, and they don't really work together. And the same at the European Commission, you have the Director General for the DG Sante, DG Envy and DG Agri, but they're not really working closely together. And in fact, what we need is sustainable food policy in Europe.
Okay. Well, changing a little bit of subject, could you talk a little more about Humane Society, the association that you're taking part?
Yeah. Humane Society International, together with its partner organisations, is one of the world's largest animal protection organisations.
Uh-huh.
So we have offices around the world, and we work. We work to protect all animals, so animals in laboratory, wildlife, companion animals, farm animals. I work for the farm animal sector, so I'm focusing on meat consumption. We have humane eating campaigns running around the world. I'm working mainly in a policy environment in Brussels, but we support Meatless Mondays campaigns across South America, also in the United States, in South Asia and China and South Africa. So we're quite busy on many projects of animal protection.
Okay. In terms of farm animals, for example, your final goal in human society, is it to abolish animal exploitation in terms of we would like consumption?
Well, we're not a vegetarian organisation. We want to absolutely abolish animal suffering. But we encourage reducing consumption of animal-based products, because also you have to be very realistic. The whole world is not going to become vegetarian, and to campaign on a vegetarian message is not very practical or realistic. And it's fantastic for the people who choose to become vegetarian, and the more people who do, the better for animals, our planet, mm-hmm. and our health. However, we focus very much on meat reduction, because we think that everyone can make a change to their diet. They can refine their diet and replace some meat with plant-based alternatives, or take a meat-free day a week, or become vegetarian, or become vegan. We have to respect people's personal choice, but we think that it's important that the public have access to information. So, obviously, about animal welfare, this is very important, but about the effects it's having on health, and also the effects that it's having on our planet. And at the moment, there's not enough information. People aren't as aware. For example, with climate change, there's more willingness to reduce your meat consumption. Research shows that there's more willingness when people have a higher awareness of the negative impact it has on the environment. But unfortunately, governments are scared to give out this information. So I can't say that we want to abolish meat eating. Perhaps that would be, you know, some personal views of some of us, but that's not a realistic goal. But we certainly want to see a world where fewer animals are born and raised and killed. Most recent FAO figures, 2013, 77 billion land animals we raised and killed for food. That's a lot of animals. So we'd like to see a reduction in the EU alone, it was 8.3 billion. So we'd like to see a reduction in the amount of animals that are born and killed, and often have quite miserable lives in between this, for our food.
Sorry, am I talking too long?
No.
This is the most important part for me. Okay, I would like to stick in the subject that we are in COP21, because I could ask you a lot of questions about how humans lack empathy with animals, and maybe we had to work on that also. I guess that you work on that with human society, but this is not completely out of topic here in COP21.
Although I will mention animal welfare at the event tomorrow, I will make a quick note on animal welfare, because I think if we're talking about reducing our consumption, then it's very important the environmental damage, the use of resources, the land use for feed, the emissions, the amount of water that's used to produce animal feed or to produce a pound of meat. I mean, all of this is disproportionately high and absolutely unsustainable. And the health, I mean, it's not just the cancer risks. There's a lot of many non-communicable diseases which are very prevalent in Western society, which are linked to overconsumption of meat. But I think that animal welfare always has to be a very important point. If you're discussing this subject, you have to also bring in the fact that the animals are, but in EU law, they're recognised as sentient beings. So I think whatever aspect of consumption you're discussing, it needs to be holistic, and we need to look at the full picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that maybe that's it, Alexandra. Thank you very much for meeting with us today. Yeah, and we will follow from outside your conference and also the state of the dialogue around meat industry. And maybe see you in the next COP.
Yes, thank you very much, Irene.
Thank you, actually.